Hey, man, I'm glad that you gave me a small hand clap. I don't know why it wasn't larger, but it's okay. We'll be good. But honestly, the one that needs to get all the glory and all the honor, his name is Jesus. Can we give Jesus a crazy hand clap shout of praise? We're grateful. Glory! Glory! No. All right, wait, okay, hold on. Turn me up, bro. I'm Mexican American. I'm Latino. I need some fire. Come on, bro. Okay, I think there's a team called the Seattle Seahawks, correct? And don't they have the 12th man? Okay, let me talk to you over here, right? I have friends, they're presently playing. My friend is starting quarterback. We're up right now, so I'm praying for him. I'm a big football fan, so let me just say this. So I'm a chaplain for the New Orleans Saints. Okay, hold on. That's the good team. I was formerly the chaplain of the Raiders. That's the bad team. I've done chapels for different organizations, professional athletes. And so I'm not a Seahawks fan, but I do know that when my friends play in the stadium, they say it's one of the loudest, craziest stadiums to play in. That's why you call it the 12th man, right? Which means your screaming and yelling throws off the opposing team. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so I don't understand how the 12th man is at a football stadium, but we're celebrating something greater than six overweight offensive linemen blocking for a ripped quarterback. Come on, and I mean, look at my body. I played running back. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? But no, I'm serious. I don't understand how guys, you know, in the Green Bay area, they're in church like this, but they go to the stadium and put cheese, blocks of cheese on their head. And then they paint, you know, like stuff on their body, and it's like 30 degrees, and they're with no shirt on, and they're going crazy. But we come. I'm not a hater. Please hear me. I played professional sports in my mind. You know what I'm talking about. but I want you to know something, my friends. I don't understand, because listen to me. I'm a Rams fan, but the Rams team did not die for me. Come on, I'm a Laker fan. Come on, LeBron's my friend. Let me tell you something. He did not go to the cross for me. There is one man, the God man named Jesus, who lived a perfect life, and they crucified him and they buried him. But on the third day, he rose again. I'm talking about that Jesus. I'm talking about your Savior. I'm talking about your. Let's go. God, we give you glory. 10-second praise break. 9, 8, 7, 6. Yeah! Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor next to you. Say, hey, neighbor. Say loud, hey, neighbor. You shouldn't have sat next to me. Look at your other neighbor. Say, neighbor. It's going to get crazy in here. All right, just want to make sure I'm in the right place. Amen? Before I get into the Word of God, let me just say a few things. I know what time it is. I had to end on time for the 9 o'clock. My plane don't leave till 6. So if you are in a hurry, let me help you out. The more you look at your phone wondering what time it is, it motivates me to go longer. If you pull this kind of thing on me and showing me, I'm like, bro, you just gave me another 10 minutes. So I'm a talkback preacher. So when I say something good, like, this is the best looking group I've ever preached to today, you would say amen. Amen. How many are married? How many are married? How many are married? If I said to you, you married the right person, you would say amen. I just heard a guy say, oh my, I don't know what to say. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. So I want to just give honor, and I'm the emotional one in my family. BJ, can you stand up? Benjamin, can you stand up? Here's my oldest son, Benjamin Perez. Guys, throw up my family. There they are. There's my beautiful family. Yes, that is my wife, not my sister, okay? So that's Wendy, and that's my son, Benaiah. And he's got swag, man. He's just dripping. His fit is just on fire, okay? And that's my beautiful daughter. Yes, she's my daughter. I know she's got blonde hair, but that's my daughter. Amen. And that's me. And I'm wearing a turtleneck again, not the same one. I changed it out, okay? And then my son. Wendy says hi to everybody. She was born and raised in the Pacific Northwest, and glad God delivered her. Okay, let's just keep going right now. I want to say this because I am the crier in my family. My son will tell you. My wife is not the crier. My wife will cut you and let you bleed out, but I'm not that way. And some of you need to laugh. Life is good. Life is good. So I'm Hispanic. And it has Hispanic Latinos in the house? One. Yeah, I know. I got you. I was the one. Yeah. So, and my wife is white, as you saw. And we have three coconuts my kids. A coconut is white, is brown on the outside, white on the inside. Come on, amen. Just trying to drive out any spirit of racism that should be here right now. But I want to say that I'm so proud of Pastor Nick. Proud of him. He actually walked me to the office that was mine many years ago. And I had a flashback. I saw him sitting on that couch. People say, man, what are you excited about ministry? I don't want to flex on you because I only have 8-inch guns. I have preached at some of the most prolific churches in the world. My wife says, don't name drop. She's not here, so why not? Why not? I do name drop. I've preached for Joel Osteen. I've preached for Hillsong. I've preached for the most prolific churches in the world. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that they were foolish to invite me the first time. I'm grateful that we have God, by his grace, we built a church that is shaking Las Vegas. I'm grateful for that. I know it is to go through a building program, you know, and we had to go through hell and back, but we got through it. Right, and we opened up our building, then COVID hit, and we had to shut it down. That's a whole other story. 100,000 square foot building, massive, massive facility, massive, just awesome. And that's all great, but let me tell you, as I'm getting older, I turned 60 December 12th. Write that down in your notes, please. I'll give you my address to send something. I can Venmo. We can throw our Venmo up there, bro, okay? I take Zelle, too. I take that, too. Amen. And I'll take cash. I'd like card haul cash. I'll take it all. But let me just say this, is that my heart is full. One day I'll pass off this planet. One day my name kind of would fade off. But the people that I put effort and time in and the people that I led to Christ, that's the true legacy. Amen. Amen. What you do for others, what you do when nobody may know, the blessing you've been to people that nobody would ever know your name, God knows. And I'm forever grateful that I came to Marysville, Washington. I know he's not here, but I want to give honor to Ken Squires, who took a chance on me, a wild guy. And for whatever reason, God broke forth a revival that touched the world. And I remember Nick Baumgart, I think 17 years old, and gifted, just talented. And I knew there was a call of God on his life. And, of course, Heather, her family, legends, Pastor Rudnick, he's not here, but he's in heaven watching me. And he said, I told you. I said, you're right, Pastor Rudnick. I am an incredible minister. That's what you said. But I want to give on. What? That was not a joke, friends. I want to give honor to God for your pastor, Pastor Nick. Amen. Give honor to God, come on, for his beautiful wife, Heather. And I want them to stand. I want you guys to stand. Stand up. I want you to honor Pastor Nick and Heather. Only God knows the blood, the sweat, the tears, the prayers. Come on, people. All right. We need people that need some seats. Just go find one. In fact, this is youth ministry days. Come sit in the front. I don't care. Maybe that's what we did back in the day. Okay, let's grab our Bibles. My time is going. Forgive me for going so long. And if humor offends you, you're going to be really offended as I preach. We're going to begin in the book of John chapter 2, book of John chapter 2. And as you're turning there, I'm on Instagram, and I want to invite you Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 6:30 Pacific time. I go live, and it's called Kingdom First. I've been doing it since February 26th, and now other nations are joining. Hundreds of people are joining. It's absolutely free, and I will give you, we'll just get into the Word of God together. And if you want more information about me, you just could go to BennyPerezMyName.com and find out what we're doing. And God's doing some cool things even as I get older. Here we go. John chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. If you're there, say, I'm there. Are you going to throw it up on the screen? They got the big electronic Bible on there. I actually love a paper Bible because when the grid goes down, you won't be able to read your Bible. You got to get your paper Bible. Amen. Some of you got anxiety when I said that. I'm off the grid. I'm off the grid, you know. And it says this, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Somebody say, the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. If that was me, I would have just invited Jesus. I don't need to feed another 12 disciples, okay? And they said this, and when they ran out of wine, now, if I was in Vegas, we would probably believe it's alcoholic wine, but I'm here. So when they ran out of the non-alcoholic wine, they said, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what is your concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come. Now, let me tell you something. If I ever talk to my mama like that, I got a 4'10" Hispanic Latina mama. Come on, somebody. I would not be speaking to you right now. She said, what? You know what I'm talking about. Okay, some of you, okay, never mind. Let's keep going. And so watch, verse 5, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Didn't even pay attention to her son. That's what moms do. All right. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. Let me ask you a question. Did they need wine or water? What did they need?
Wine.
Okay, not water. Jesus said, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw out some now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water, that was made wine. And did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew it came from Costco. The master of the feast called the bridegroom. Watch this. And he said to the bridegroom at the beginning, sets out the good wine. Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And then the guests have well drunk. And then they put out the inferior wine from Walgreens. If you only knew what's in my head, I'm not letting it come out of my mouth. You have kept the good wine until now. Another translation, you have saved the best for last. This beginning of the signs of Jesus in Galilee and manifest his glory and disciples believed in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And God, I pray that you speak, Lord God, concisely to the point in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody say it. One more big what?
Amen.
Amen, everybody. The title of the message, which is behind me, should be the miracle is in his presence. The miracle, what? All right, that's a shortened version of it. That's okay. So in the story, oh my God. In the story that we read, it is the first miracle of Jesus, the first miracle of Jesus. Now, there is a principle of biblical interpretation called the law of first mention. When anything is mentioned the first time in the Bible is very significant because there are things in there that are pointing to other things, not just the miracle that took place, okay? And so Jesus at this point now, he now has come out into his ministry. So Jesus, he was baptized in the River Jordan. Some of you know that story in Matthew. He is baptized, and he's arguing with his cousin John. And John says, man, I got to baptize. You got to baptize me. Why are you baptizing me? And And Jesus says, yo, cuz, this is the way it's got to be. Okay, so just baptize me. And so when he baptizes Jesus, it says that he comes up out of the water. Watch this. And the heavens are open. And a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. And the Spirit is lit upon him like a dove. And now, man, something good is about to happen, right? Well, he's actually is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. He defeats the devil by the word of God. He keeps on coming back with the word of God against the enemy. Side note, the devil is a liar, and anytime he speaks, he just speaks lies. The way you overcome a lie, come on, somebody, is with the truth. It's the truth of God's word. That's why the word of God every morning is important. It's my conviction you should be in the word of God every morning. It's my conviction you should pray the first thing every morning. That's why you can come join me on my Instagram at Benny Perez, and I can help you, right? Are you trying to get us to show up? Absolutely, 100%. It's free. I don't charge you anything, but your life will change. So what happens is that Jesus now comes out of the wilderness, watch this, in the power of the Spirit, and in that he begins to do he begins to preach, and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he begins to preach. Now Jesus has these 12 disciples, and he gets invited to a wedding. I had dinner with your pastor and with Heather and with Hudson and with Emerson. And Emerson got married about four months ago. How do you know? She had that glow on her face. That's only going to last two more months. But hey, praise the Lord. Amen. It's all good. I'll take the 6 months. Praise God. Amen. And I love Hudson. Hudson, he's like wired like me. He's numbers. He's talking about stocks. He's like, dude, you're my man. You're my man, Hudson, right? I like you. And so in Jesus' day, though, a wedding was different than present day. In Jesus' day, a wedding would last 7 days. Somebody say 7 days. Now, that's kind of cool if you're the one invited, because you get free food. Come on, for 7 days. I mean, I don't know about you, but I want to bring that back. Amen, right? I want to bring that back, right? And so, but the Bible says that they're there, and something tragic happens, because the Bible says that they run out of, and I'm not going to hear debate if it was alcoholic, non-alcoholic, and all the other stuff, because we just get caught up on things that are not really that important. What's important is there's a principle to the miracle that's in the story. It's the first miracle of Jesus. And in this text, I just want to point out a few things for you and for me. And I want you to understand what is happening. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says, I want to just give you this point. Jesus' presence at a party shows us something. It shows a celebration. Jesus is there. Now hear me. This debunks this thought of God as being angry and ready for you to mess up, and he's going to get you. I know, you know, it's that hymn that we used to sing, one way or another, he's going to find you. He's going to get you. You know that hymnal, right? You know that one? Oh, you never had that hymnal. I'm in Las Vegas, and that's what they think. They think God is like Thor, the god of thunder, that if you misstep, ha-ha, wham, that's it. You're done. Now, can I tell you something? All of us fall short. So we need grace and mercy. Come on, somebody, not judgment, right? And so now, all of a sudden now, Jesus is showing up at this party. Why? Because he wants us to know that Jesus is into celebration, that God is a God of celebration and joy. Can I get a big amen right now? Right? And so they're partying. It's not a funeral. It's not. First thing I want to do is show you I love hanging out at funerals. No, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more. Come on. Jesus said, I come to give you life and more. Abundantly. But we don't believe that, because the insurance company says that you're insured except if it's an act of God, which is usually something bad happens. I was my insurance agent. I said, I want that changed. What do you mean? Put the act of the devil. They're like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Not to you, but to me it is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You got to see this, that Jesus is there. And man, life is good. The first public scene with Jesus and his disciples was a wedding, not a funeral. Now look what happens though. In the next verses 3 and 4, I want you to understand, it brings me to point number 2, is that Jesus' presence did not stop a problem. It didn't stop a problem. You know, some of us are not careful. We tell people, come to Jesus, bro, and man, everything's cool. Can I tell you something? You should tell them the truth. Come to Jesus, your sins are forgiven. come to Jesus, you have somebody who's going to be with you. Why is he going to be with me? Because you're going to go through some things. Okay, let me, you're too quiet over there. How many have ever been through a few things in your life? Can I just see your hand right now? But you know what? Sometimes preachers, we're not careful. We tell people, come to Jesus, bro. And guess what? Nothing bad will happen. It's like the yellow brick road. But even Dorothy had a wicked witch. I'm tired. I tell people when I make altar calls, I said, you need a savior. Why? Because you can't forgive your sin. And can I tell you something? Listen, Jesus does not keep you from problems, but he'll keep you in them. Amen. He'll be with you when you're going through the storm. He'd be with you, come on, when you're going through the fire. So what's the problem here? The problem didn't, Jesus didn't stop the problem. They ran out of wine. Wine represented celebration. It was a sign of a lack and not a good beginning for the new couple. Wine was a sign of joy. And Rabbi said this, where there was no wine, there's no more joy. Yet Jesus was at the wedding and it did not stop the wine from running out. Just because Jesus is in your life, in my life, doesn't mean that we won't have problems arise. Jesus was there, watch me, and a problem was there. This is gonna, I'm telling you what, I'm an old-fashioned Pentecostal. I'm gonna run around this building, what I'm about to say. Because I just got something that's not in my notes. I'll say it again, my God. My God, I feel like I'm Stephen Furtick, my friend, right now. My God, help me. Except I don't have that. Okay, watch. Did you hear what I said? That Jesus was there and a problem was there. You missed it. Jesus was there and a problem was there. I don't want to be where a problem is there and Jesus is not there. Oh, you missed it. I could face any problem on the planet as long as I know that my Jesus is there. Come on. I just saw it, BJ, I saw it. Learn how to preach, son, that you study and you go there, but then the ghost, he whispers something to you. I didn't see it. He says, Jesus was there. The problem was there, but Jesus was there. We need to understand the presence of Jesus does not stop the challenge. Challenges in life will arise even in the midst of Jesus. Your faith should not falter because of a problem. Your faith should strengthen because Jesus is there in the midst of the problem. I wasn't always this big and ripped. I was a lot smaller back in the day. I need somebody who's a rather large man. I need somebody who's pretty big. Anybody over 6'2", 6'3", here? He doesn't seem too motivated to come up here. Okay. Yeah, come on, sir. Can you come up here? Okay. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. He scared me. Sir, what's your name?
Chris.
Chris? No. Okay. Now, would you agree that Chris is a little larger than me? Okay, so this Chris is representing an old friend of mine. When I was growing up, his name was Mario, okay? Mario was in eighth grade, but he looked like he was 30. Mario, back in the day, was what, in my era, you would call them cholos, gang members, okay? Like fishnet things on their head. Okay, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. I understand I'm in Marysville. We'll figure it out. We'll translate it somehow. Okay. When I was by myself, I used to get beat up all the time. There was another guy, his name was he had a nickname, I can't say it. I'll just call him Fred. And he was a bully, and he would find me, and he would just be beating me all the time, right? So finally, one time, he cornered me, and I was walking down the hallway, and Mario was a little bit behind, stay right there, my friend. He was a little bit behind me, and when I turned the corner, there was this bully. And he says, hey. And he starts like just getting in my face. He was about ready to pound me down. I said, you know what? You know what your mama is? Your mama looks like? Your mama looks like a person with cowboy boots on. Your mama, she's ugly. She's UGLY. She don't got no alibi. She's ugly. You know what I'm saying? Now, why was I so brave? The guy goes, what? And he's ready to pounce on me. And all of a sudden, you're going to start walking to me, bro. All of a sudden, I said, Mario. Now Mario. And all of a sudden, I go, Mario. And Mario comes around the corner. And this is what I said. I said, Mario, Fred's been talking smack about your mother. All I had to do was, and Fred said, what? You're not Fred, but just say, what?
What?
Yeah, exactly. And he said, he's talking about your mama. And you said, and then gently, take your arm and just move me to the side. Just push, yeah, move me to the side. Thank you, gently. Now, this guy is saying, oh, no, I was talking about Ben. Benny was saying that. Benny. I said, nope, he's lying. And I proceeded to rejoice. Because this big man put a beating on that. You know how strong you can feel, how confident you can feel, as long as you have Jesus and a problem, Jesus is always greater. Come on, than the problem that you're facing. Come on, give my friend a big hand clap. Side note, if some of you do not like my preaching, go tell him that. Somebody say problem.
Problem.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Say problem.
Problem.
Jesus.
Jesus.
So if a problem is there, but Jesus is there, I should be okay. Come on, you hear what I'm saying? See, the problem, the presence of Jesus, it did not stop the problem. It didn't stop the problem. But the presence of Jesus was the source of provision. Jesus' mother comes and says, we have a problem, Jesus. We have a problem. We've run out of wine. Jesus said this. He said, Mom, it's not time for me to manifest yet who I am. Mary knew that her son had the power of provision. She came to him, asked in faith, and then stepped out by faith by getting things ready. We need to understand the presence of Jesus may not stop a problem, but the presence of Jesus, come on, is the source of our provision for what we are facing. We simply need to acknowledge the presence of Jesus. We need to come and make our requests known. It's all throughout the Bible. There's a story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know the story, right? And they build this big old statue, and Neb says, hey, when you hear the music, you got to bow down and worship me. Well, they're not going to bow down and worship that because they are worshiping the one true God. And they said they wouldn't do that. You know what's so crazy? People are okay if, quote, your religion is private but not public. It's only when they went public with their faith did they get persecuted. So I get persecuted a lot because I take stands for what I believe is kingdom. And they took a stand, and the Bible said they heated up 7 times worse. And then the Bible says that they throw in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all tied up, and the men that threw them in died because of the flame. That's what the Bible says. So they're in there, and then Nebuchadnezzar says, how many guys did we throw in there? And the reply was what?
Three.
Somebody say three.
Three.
Somebody say tres.
Tres.
Tres personas. Terrible accent, but I'm in Marysville. Thank you. But then Nebuchadnezzar says something. He says, then why do I see four? Yeah. Then this is crazy. You should have came to the first service. You would have been out by now. This is crazy. Sir, with the Seattle number 14 jersey on. This is crazy. Okay? This is crazy. Nebuchadnezzar, a pagan, says these words. I see the fourth man, and he looks like the Son of God. Stop. How would he know what the Son of God looks like? How would he know that that is the Son of God? I have another message on that. But my point is this, is that he saw something in his natural eye that he couldn't see in his spiritual eye. Jesus was with the boys already. Jesus just showed up in the persecution they were going through. Let me help you out. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And it says that now they're walking around and all the stuff that was binding them, they were freed up. And it says that Nebuchadnezzar said, come on out. Now I know who the God you serve. And the Bible says they came out and they didn't even smell like smoke. I got a good prophetic word for somebody right now. What you have been going through, I'm believing that in the year 2025, God's going to bring you through and you won't even have the residue of the stuff that you walked through in 2024. Give God a 5-second praise break right now. So watch me now. So now, watch. Oh, God, help me. It says this. Point number four is Jesus' presence began the process of a miracle. Mary, the mother of Jesus, tells these guys, hey, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Now, Jesus is a carpenter. He is not a person who makes wine. He has done no miracles. There is no precedent. Oh, yeah, Jesus, he walked on water yesterday. No problem. Oh, yeah, Jesus, he multiplied the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Yeah, that's Jesus. Oh, yeah, Jesus. No, there was no miracle. So they were just going out of obedience. And I know there's people here that you need miracles. I need a miracle. And a lot of times we say we need a miracle mentality, but I'm here to tell you, you need an obedience mentality first. So now they say, Jesus says to them, I want you to fill up the 6 water pots, right? That represents ceremonial washing, 6 the number of man. Some person came up to me and I think she had a good heart and she was kept asking me and wanting a verse in scripture. And here's the bottom line. There's typology in Bible. Okay, so let me help you out. 5 is the number of grace. 8 is the number of new beginnings. 10 is the number of testing. 12 is the number of government. And there's all kinds of great books that are written that can help you because numbers mean something in the Bible. Are you hearing what I'm saying, right? And so all of a sudden now, it's like Jesus says, I want you to fill up the water pots because let me tell you something, your life apart from Christ are like those water pots, you'll be empty. I know people that are worth a lot of money. I do coaching now and I've coached some prolific people that are worth a lot of money. And over again, they tell me this, the cars, the stuff, the watches, the fame, whatever it is, it has not filled them. Why? Because there's only one thing that could fill your life with security and significance, and that is Jesus and Jesus alone. I thought when I would preach at a certain platform, I would feel different. I go back to the hotel room, I don't feel different. I thought when I would have this opportunity or that opportunity, or man, I get to do this. I went back to my hotel room and I realized none of that stuff is there to fulfill you. Only God could fulfill you. And so these water pots are empty. And what Jesus say? Jesus says to them, I want you to fill the water pots up with water. So what is Jesus trying to tell them? Jesus' presence was the source of provision, began the process of a miracle in verses 7-9. And so he tells them to do that. And they fill the water pots up all the way to the brim. So they don't know Jesus is a miracle worker. And I don't know why I keep being drawn to this section right here, but somebody's going to get an incredible breakthrough and a miracle in this section. How do you know that? I've been preaching for 38 years. I know the voice of God. Somebody here. Who touched me? Jesus, everybody's touching you. No, somebody touched me with faith. Virtue left my body. Somebody here is going to get that breakthrough. Fill the water pots with water. As they're filling up the water pots with water, they're probably thinking, I thought we need wine. Has God ever said anything to anybody that didn't make any sense? Can I just see your... Okay, we have 3 people. You know that it doesn't make any sense when the Bible says that everything have breath, praise the Lord, but you've just gone through a tragic loss, but the Bible says to give praise to God? The kingdom is counterintuitive, sir. It's counterintuitive. You want to increase financially in the kingdom? You know how you do it? Give. That's counterintuitive. Why would I give? Well, because that's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 9, and 10 is all about giving. And then we try and spiritualize it, but it's not spiritual. It's talking about wealth, riches, money, increase. That's what it means. But Jesus says something. I want you to fill it up with water, but we need wine. You know what's so funny about Jesus? Jesus wants you Jesus wants you to understand that what you have can be a miracle in the making. Moses, what do you have in your hand? A staff. Stretch it over the Red Sea. It splits. Moses, I want you to take that staff and touch the rock, and water comes out. Come on, somebody help me preach this thing. We have 15,000 people to feed. We don't have anything, God. Oh, yeah, this little guy, it's Saturday, so he went to Chick-fil-A, and he's got this meal, so let's do it. No. And we read this stuff, and we just read it like we're little kids and just like some little fairy tale. But can you believe that actually God took 5 loaves and 2 fish and multiplied it and fed 15,000 people and had enough left over? See, we got to start thinking like God thinks. We need to start believing that we have a supernatural God. Can you hear an amen right now? Amen. I know I'm going overtime. I already told you I was going to go overtime. So why are you all stressed out? Okay? What is there better to do? Your team's not doing good this year. Stop it. Just leave. Just stop it. Oh, I know. I provoked you because the truth hurt you, didn't it? Yeah. Well, he's mean. Don't bring him back. I know. Who says? Why am I mean? Because I tell the truth in love. Why am I mean? Because some of you have been telling God, what can you do with my life? And God says, I could do a lot with your life. God, what can you do? I'm disappointed. God, it didn't work out. What can I do? God says, I can do a lot with that. Oh, God, I was believing, but how can I believe again? Oh, it's okay. I know you don't have to understand everything, but I'm asking you, will you fill up your water pots again? Will you fill up the water pots again? Will you do what I tell you to do again? They fill it up. What happens when they fill it up? I wish I could tell you that it filled up, and the guys go, Mike, yes, there's wine in here. It doesn't say that. It says, when the master of the feast tasted it, it is my conclusion that I don't think the water turned to wine until the guy tasted it. And we want to, yay, unless you're the servants. Now take it over there. We need wine. Like, even the cheap stuff, Jesus, would be good. And he just, CVS is right down the street. Come on, Jesus. This is where it doesn't make sense. Dude, it's still water. I know. What's in my cup? Water. What's in your cup? Water. Ah. Dude, look at my cup. What's in there? Water. Dude, look at my cup. What's in there? Wine. Really? No, just kidding. Let's keep going right now. And this is the place where most miracles are lost. Because we go by what we see. And we go by what we feel. And we go by what we experienced in the past, which maybe it did not work. Or maybe we remember what God has done. Maybe we start thinking about, come on, the miracles, come on, that have come to pass. Maybe we start rehearsing. Come on, somebody, the goodness. The more you get amen, the quicker I finish preaching. Come on, you remember. Does anybody remember the goodness of God? Has God done anything good for at least one person in the place right now? And it brings me to my last point. And all of a sudden now, the Bible says that now Jesus tells us the point of the miracle. And he says that now the master of the feast says that, man, you always do the best wine and then the least. But the point of the miracle is God always saves the best. Come on, somebody, for last. Last. You know how many times I've been asked, Pastor Nick, How about the Marysville revival? I was preaching on Daystar the other day. They asked me about the Marysville revival. I said, there's a revival in Las Vegas. We don't want to hear about that. We want to hear about Marysville. We've had over 2,000 people say, we don't want to hear about that. Tell us about it. I said, I had hair back then. Listen to me. Marysville, a.k.a. Grove Church, lock in with me right now. Lock in. Why would God release a youth revival that shook the globe and say, that's the best? Or could it be that God has saved the best for last? No. Look. Because what I'm feeling, I'm trying to be calm. You come to Church LV in Vegas, you're like, was that the same guy preaching at Marysville? No, it wasn't. No, I'm a five right now. I'm trying to help some because I'm going to blow off some of your toupees. Listen to me. Okay, I'm going to come off the stage. No, it's all right. I want to talk to you for a second. I want to come where you're at. I want you to see me. I want you to feel me. I understand that you two guys have been up there. You two guys? My God, if you knew what God's going to do through your life, if you knew the call of God in your life, if you knew the favor of God in your life, if you knew that God has, you know what's so crazy? Is God says stuff like this, that before I formed you, I knew you. God knit you together in your mother's womb. That means there's purpose, there's intent, there's destiny. I've been drawn to you, sir. You got favor on your life, sir. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you do, but you got favor, bro. I see you leading men. I see you rising up. I see you doing things. Your best years are still ahead of you because you've been through some stuff. You've come through some things. I saw you walk in. You walked in. And then all these little people followed you. Do they belong to you? Yeah, let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about your kids. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen to them. Because you watch. The hand of God, and I'm going to give you a word. I don't care if they're on fire for God or not. I don't care if they love Jesus or not. I don't care if they, I don't have to go to church again or not. I could care less. Because you see me now, I backslid for 3.5 years. And my mama prayed me and my dad prayed me. And at 21 and a half, I had a supernatural encounter with Jesus on the beach. Jesus showed up and I heard the audible voice of God. He said, it's time to come home. You don't have a choice. No, you don't have a choice. You don't even know the hand of God on you. You girls, and I might as well include you, you're a friend. Do you want to be a part of the blessing or not? I would say yes if I were you. Do you want a $100 bill with the rest of them? You would say yes. I just want you to know, when you walked in and God just told me, he said, tell her, I got them. I got them. I got them. Don't worry about it. Love on them. Pray on them. They're just kids. They're just kids. Are you guys married right here? You two? Are you sure? Yeah? Can you stand up? Can you guys stand up? Can you just hold hands? Because... you know, it's so cool that God turns disappointment back into joy. That God kind of does. I don't know why I'm saying this to you. I don't know. I could be totally off. And all the haters are going to come up to me after church and say, And they're usually people that have not done nothing. But can I just pray this over you? Okay. Can I just lay my hands on you? Is that okay? Okay. So, Father, I just thank you that, God, there's a resurrection. God's going to resurrect some things. Things, Lord God, that even died. But you're a God of the resurrection. I just lay my hands on you right now in the name of Jesus. I declare that over your life right now. In Jesus' mighty name, God. Miracle, 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 miracle. Can I want to pray for you. I've gone way over time. Sorry, Nick. Sorry, but not sorry. There's an ice cream shop called Sorry, But Not Sorry. See, I feel. Are these your two executives? These two. It's almost like, I think it was Moses that needed somebody to hold up his hands. As long as they held up his hands, there was victory. God, you are a godsend to this house and to these pastors. And the reward for you guys is so great. Nobody knows. Nobody knows the sacrifice. Nobody knows. God does. I got a good word for both of you. God is going to repay. God is going to, what you've done in secret, God's going to reward you openly. God's going to reward you openly. There's somebody in this place, you have a sciatic nerve issue in your left leg. Your left leg, like pulsating pain in your left leg. If that's you, can you just wave your hand at me? Can you just, why would God tell me that? Are you here? Why would he tell me that? Sciatic nerve to the left leg, it just kept coming strong. Can you wave your hand at me? I can't see you. Okay. Okay, can you all stand up just for a second about where you are? I know you can't because maybe, or maybe you can. Can you stand up, please? If you raise your hand, can you stand up? I lived in the Pacific Northwest, sir. I lived in Marysville. I loved every minute of it. I lived in Arlington, then I lived right by the golf course. And the first house I bought was $113,000. I Zillowed it. It's worth $458,000. Why did I sell it? Does anybody have a well on your property, a well that you dig and you have well water? You have well water? Okay. You know what's so significant about that? That well is there. And this may not make any sense to you. There's a well of revival in this church. It's here. But I think the second wave is going to be so more significant than the first wave. The first one was more about young people. The second one is going to be all generations. I see a school coming out of this church. I see a training center coming out of this church. I see you training other pastors coming out of this church. I see your executives, what God has placed them. I see it. Heather, I see you. I see you open up your mouth. I see you speaking. I see you shifting things. I see you. Because it's a generational thing. Your dad, your granddad, now you. Have confidence. Oh, you're just scratching the surface. I'm a revival guy that just masks as being contemporary. So if you're standing, if you're sitting by somebody that's standing, can you just lay your hands on them, especially if you know them? Just lay your hands on them. If you're sitting by them, we're going to pray healing. How many still believe God can heal people today? Let me ask you a question. How many has God ever healed you? Can I see your hand? God's healed you. Wow, there's a lot of people. So let's start here, okay? Why not? Let's just see what happens. Somebody's pain is going to leave their body. Somebody's going to get healed. He brought me up. He said, I'm the miracle guy. No, I'm the long-winded guy. How many can sense God? Can you sense something in the room right now? I sense something right now. I sense something right now. I sense something right now. So, Father, come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray for these individuals that are standing. God, we ask for healing virtue would come and touch them right now in the name of Jesus. We say pain, leave their bodies. Nerves, be healed. Come on, church, help me pray. We pray this in the name of who? Say, God, heal their bodies. Right now, you're the healer. In Jesus' name. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. Check yourself. I know I have to end, but check yourself. See if the pain has lessened. See if anything has shifted in your body. Did anybody feel like a warmth or something come over your body when they prayed for you? Anybody feel that? Anybody get healed? Anybody feel anything shifting? Wave your hand if you felt anything shift in your body. Can you just wave your hand at me? Okay, you felt something shift. Somebody else, anybody else? You felt something shift. If you didn't feel anything shift, stand back up again. My mentor prayed for one person twice. His name was Jesus. Get back up. I'm going to pray for you again. If you stood for that first time, I'm going to pray for you again. See, this is where most guys, rookies, they just like they pull back. Not me. I'm a grizzled veteran. Listen, because if people don't receive the healing right now, that's not on me. My responsibility is to pray for people and believe God for that. And if you would get that mentality, you wouldn't be all worried if you prayed for people. They didn't get healed. They don't matter. I'm not the healer. I'm a Mexican. I'm not a healer. Jesus is a healer. Can I hear an amen right now? So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, let that pain shoot out of their body, be healed right now, in Jesus' name. Migraines, stand up. Migraines, stand up. You have migraines. You suffer with migraines. Quickly. I would go quick because I'm way over time. I'm not looking at them because I just know. I'm not looking at Nick right now. Because I feel this. Lay your hands on your head right now if you're standing right now. Lay your hands on your head right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command, Lord God, migraines to leave. We command things to leave their body right now. Be healed right now. Even somebody with pain right now. Go! Go! Be healed. In Jesus' mighty name, God, we declare that right now. Right now, be healed. Come and receive that healing right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Last call. The greatest miracle you ever see is not a blind eye or deaf ears. It's when one person says yes to Jesus. You're in this place today. You need Jesus. You can't save yourself. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not about you trying to do more. It's not going from bad to good. That's what the Bible, no, the gospel is going from dead to alive. I've been spiritually dead in my trespasses and sins, and now he makes me alive in Christ. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. That's what happened to Pastor Nick. He said, May whatever it was, 1992. Only God knew that he would pastor this church one day. You're in this place, every head up, every eye open, no secret agents. The Bible says when one person gets right with God, all heaven rejoices. That means it goes crazy. It doesn't do a golf clap. No. You need Jesus. It could be one, it could be none. If that's you, when I say three, you're going to shoot your hand up. Are you ready? One. Are you ready? Two. I say three. It could be one, it could be none. Come on. Moms have been praying. Dads have been praying. People have been praying. Are you ready? One. Two, three, shoot your hand up high, high, high right now. High, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, you raise your hand. Can you just stand? I'm not gonna call you out. Can you stand? Because I want people to know what God's doing. Come on, stand. If you raise your hand, stand. You raised your hand. I want you to... Hold on just a second. You raised your hand. I saw you. I got big eyes. I'll pull you out. You said, dude, your eyes haven't gotten any smaller. I know. You know why I was going and talking to you, bro? Maybe God brought me all the way from Las Vegas, bro, just to talk to you. This young man right here, handsome guy. Handsome knows handsome. I don't know why you're laughing. I want you to know something. One, two, three, four. Four, what else is standing? Five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. Now I'm gonna do something. It's gonna be totally uncomfortable for you because that's my specialty. Because some people wanna stand so bad, but they don't wanna stand by themselves. I could feel it. You're in this place and you're sitting by somebody. I don't care if it's your wife. She needs to get saved again. I don't know. You're gonna say, hey, do you need to stand? If you need to stand, I'll stand with you. I know that's a little, but when I say three, just ask the person and just, let's just do it because you never know. Are you ready? One, two, three, ask the person. Do you need to stand? I'll stand with you. Come on. Ask the person on your right and your left. Just ask them, hey, do you need to stand? I'll stand with you. Do you need to stand? I'll stand with you. Do you need to stand? I'm going to wait. Do you need to stand? I'll stand with you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Boom, boom. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Boom, boom. Anybody else? Thank you. Yeah, boom, boom. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Bam. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. See, thank you. See, you know what I feel? I feel like you need to close, and yet people are standing up to get saved. Look at me. I used to capitulate to that. I hit my mark in the first service. You went over. I saw the clock. I'm not rebuking you, Pastor. I'm just making an observation. Okay, I want you to look. Man, I heard God say, ask one more time. This is crazy. I literally heard him say, ask one more time. Okay. The person sitting next to you, say, this guy's not going to stop, bro. I just wanted to make sure. Do you need to stand? Come on, your person on your right, the other. Freddie, one, two, three. Just ask him. Just ask him. Say, I'll stand with you if you need to stand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just want to make sure. Just want to make sure. Thank you. Yeah. Do you need to stand? I'll stand with you. The dear lady that just stood up right now with that shirt, your hair pulled back, you just look back. Can you wave at me? You know, I have a song that pops into my head. He loves you. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. These are miracles. What good is it if your body's healed, but you don't go to heaven? Anybody else, you need to stand? Anybody else? I'm cool. My plane don't leave till 6. I'm not bringing revival. It's already here. It's already here. I taught you. You saw it for a reason. And God says, let me make it a bigger place to hold more people. I love Marysville. I love this city. It's part of my DNA. I love it all. Might buy a little place somewhere and come here once a year for 1 week when the sun is out. Pray in tongues. Anybody else? Anybody else? I feel like you're looking at me. No, I'm not looking at you. You're way over there. How can I look at you? God just says there's more. I'm just going to wait. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's long. I know it's that. I know. Trust me. I know. I know we got kids ministry. I know we have a rather large church. We got a lot of kids. We got a lot of stuff. And we know. I know. I get it. I know the worship team. They're up here. Come on, man. Let's start singing. I know. I feel it. I know. Listen, Uncle Benny won't be back for a long time. So let's get it all. Just going to get it all right now. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Pastor Nick, there's so many. I mean, the other pastors, you can look how many people are standing. I mean, I'm going to guesstimate there's got to be at least 50 people or more. And I can tell you this, man. I don't care if it's only one, man. I get excited over one. But there's a lot of people that are standing. So we're all going to help everybody come into the kingdom. Are you guys ready? I said, are you guys ready? So we're all going to pray this prayer together. Everybody, can you ready? Okay, let's pray this prayer. Everybody pray this prayer. See, dear Heavenly Father, right now, I turn and I receive salvation, forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. Say, I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Holy Spirit, come on in. I belong to you now. Change me from the inside out. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody say a big old amen. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Nick. Pastor Nick, I'm going to turn it over to you. You can close it however you want to close it. I don't want to talk to people after church, okay? But what I want to do is I want to lay hands on people. So if you would allow me, after you dismiss and everything, I'm literally going to be down here and they just come line up and I'm just going to lay my hands on people, okay, and pray for them, okay? Ma'am, we see miracles. Like people heal, like breakthroughs. Like, because you hear God speak. Okay, I'm going to tell this. Somebody needs to hear this. I was just in San Antonio, Texas, preaching for a new friend named Pastor Ed. He's got 21,000 people, butts in the seats, exploding. I came and did his pastor's conference. And I was all excited to preach to all these pastors, like 600 of them. I get out of my hotel and I'm getting ready to be picked up, and there's this lady, she's cleaning the floors outside of the lobby, this beautiful hotel. And I'm sorry, it wasn't Pastor Ed, it was another great church in Phoenix last week. Phoenix, I'm sorry. I'm excited to preach to the crowds, but God always looks at the one. The Holy Spirit speaks to me and he says, give that woman a $100 bill that's in your pocket. I go, that can't be God. True story. I pull out money and I had 2 fives, and God yells at me, like screams at me, like emphatically, I said $100. So I walk over to her. Her name is Rosa. I said, excuse me, ma'am. She said, yes. I said, God told me to give you $100 because he loves you, he cares for you, and he sees your need. She starts bawling. She goes, oh my God, I can't believe this. I prayed last night. I don't know what I'm gonna do. She says, I don't have money for my prescription. I only have one pill left and I have no more money. I said, how much is it? She goes, $66. I said, God gave you an extra, come on somebody, an extra like $34. Well, I'm not telling you how great I am. I was excited for the thousands of people, but God is always excited for the one, for the one. So Father, I thank you right now for everybody, Lord God. Lord, the revival is here. You're here. And God, I pray that the best, you save the best for last. Lord, let 2025 be a year of more salvations that this church has ever seen. More, Lord God, people being involved in small groups and discipleship, God. Lord, I pray, God, radical transformations. God, I pray, Lord God, that the well of revival, God, you are unearthing it again, but even stronger. And for those that come down for prayer, God, I thank you for the anointing. In Jesus' name.